All right, you guys ready to jump into this? It's the last message in the series. I forget what the series is called. I made the series up. The gift you didn't ask for. That's how my Christmas is going. I feel like my brain is choking on cookies or something. Exhaustion has completely set in. I think I'm in Tremont. You guys look like tree monsters. Is that what, that's what Ryan calls everybody. That's not my name, not for you. It's good to be here. Let me pray and then we'll jump right into it. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to jump into your word. I just pray that you would help us to see you and hear you. And man, it has been a crazy ride these last couple of weeks. I just am thankful for this opportunity to settle my heart before you, maybe for all of us to settle our hearts before you and to hear your word. And just help us not to leave here the same. You have too much for us, too many good things for us just to be content with going through the motions and just living life the way we always have lived it. So I pray that you would do a good work in our hearts this morning, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the title of today's message, which just occurred to me, I did not completely think this one through either, is You Wanted a Holiday High. Now, let me just clarify that for a second. I'm not sure what kind of high popped into your brain, but as I was sitting over here thinking about the start of this message, I realized that that may not mean what everybody thinks, what I intended it to mean for everybody. So let's just put an extra word in there, even though the extra word is not in there. You wanted a emotional holiday high. Does that work? I don't even know if that works. But instead, you got a holy reminder. That's the title of today's message. You wanted a holiday emotional high, and you got a holy. I'm getting myself in trouble already. Christmas is almost, does it feel over for you? Does Christmas feel like it's winding down? Maybe not. Maybe you have some stuff going, but for most of the world, we get to this like weekend, and all of a sudden, things start clicking ahead. You can tell because people are already posting their year-end Spotify lists, which is ridiculous. Have you seen that? Like the world wants to know every song you listen to and how many times you streamed it. And I'm not just saying that because Taylor Swift would pop up first on my list. I'm a little embarrassed about that. People, you can tell things have moved on because people are posting how many books they read last year. All the huge list of books, and now there's apps to keep track of all this stuff, and what this year meant to them, or what it didn't mean to them, or how much of a train wreck this year was, or how great this year was, all looking forward to 2026, where they're going to, you guessed it, listen to more music on Spotify, read more books, and attempt at giving themselves a little bit of a better year than they had before. Have you noticed that? Like people have, what kind of like year-end Christmas person are you? Are you like the tear it down Terry? Some of you have already started getting rid of your Christmas decorations. All the cookies have been eaten. That tree is outside somewhere and you're like done. Like that's it. We made it. All the decorations come down. You're a tear it down Terry. Some of you are like a keep it up Karen. And you will keep your Christmas tree up until it disintegrates in your living room. There will be a puddle of brown needles laying on the floor before you finally relent and say, all right, listen, like it's a fire hazard. Like I'm all about, I'm not here to judge, do what you want to do. But like at some point when the tree is going to ignite, if you sneeze too hard next to it, like it's probably time to take down the decorations. Or maybe you're like, it's a one of these, it's back to reality. You could care less about the Christmas things because you don't have time to even deal with them right now because you've already been back to work for 3 days. You're running around like crazy. You got stuff to do, things to manage. Life just like ratched right back up after your one day where you had a little bit of a break and you're just like off to the races again. I'm not sure which person you are, but all of us are trying to manage, I think every one of us is trying to manage the feelings of like, okay, Christmas was a great, emotional, hopefully warm, fuzzy, a little bit of joy. If you know Jesus, there should be a little joy in there, even if you're struggling right now. Like, and then this little week where we kind of like shift gears and move on, and we're trying to manage all of our feelings. And sometimes I think we confuse the end of things with the beginning of stuff. We get like that time frame where something is ended. It's a little bit confusing, and sometimes things really feel like the end of something, and we're focused on the end of something when we should be focused on the beginning of a next chapter. In my heart and mind, it feels like I talk like Christmas is over. But the manger isn't the end. Just like a wedding isn't the end. It's just the beginning of hopefully a very long and amazing, but not no less full of struggle and challenges and grinding it out some days. And some days you love them and some days you don't want to listen to them, brush your teeth, right? Like, just like a wedding is not the end of something, it's the beginning. The manger is not the end. It's really just the start. And Simeon is the proof. I don't know if you've heard of Simeon's story. This is where you kind of see, for the first time in the book of Luke, real clearly that this baby, this manger, points to another thing made out of wood, a cross. This Simeon is where you kind of get like this warm, fuzzy feeling, vibe going, nativity, all this fun stuff. And then all of a sudden, Simeon drops like a truth bomb into the story. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? You're harshing my vibe, man. Just to kind of stay with the theme of the title of this message. See what I did there? No? Okay. This is going to be a how many high jokes can Josh fit into a message kind of day. Simeon is a story where we kind of get this idea that, hey, this is going somewhere, and it's not necessarily going somewhere where it's just all joy and all love and all fun. And his story is recorded in the book of Luke and chapter 3, and I just want to read, chapter 2, and I just want to read a little bit of it to you. Is that okay with you? I guess that's rhetorical because I'm going to do it anyway. It says this in Luke chapter 2, if you want to follow along in your Bibles or your Bible apps, Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. It says, when it came time for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And right now you're probably like, whatever, like that sounds like a lot of stuff. Don't focus on that part. I mean, that's a beautiful part, but that's a message for another time and another day. And then it goes on, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem. So Mary and Joseph are taking Jesus to the temple to consecrate him to the Lord, to dedicate him to the Lord. And there's a man there in Jerusalem called Simeon. This is where this character you may not have heard of enters the Christmas story. Simeon, it says, was righteous and devout. This guy was a faithful follower of God. He had been doing it a long time. This is one of those old saints who is full of grace and love and has just been faithfully putting one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. And can I give a shout out? You don't have to raise your hand to identify yourself as one of these people. But to the old saints that have just been faithfully grinding it out, sometimes I think we're a pretty young church. We have a lot of young people. And sometimes we do a lot of young things and cool things. And our music is young. And our preachers are young. That wasn't a joke. And youngish. And we have young vibes, and our logo flags are black with a white G that nobody can figure out. And it's an empty tomb, once you see it, you won't unsee it, with the stone rolled away, or an open door if you want to see it that way. Next time you go look at it, it's going to click for you. But we have all this like trendy stuff. And sometimes I just want to say to all of our young people out there, you learn a lot more from an old saint who has been putting one foot in front of the other for a long time, through thick or thin, through ups and downs, through good days and crisis. You will learn a lot more from the faithful saints of Grace Free Church that have been doing it a long time than you will from me. Their example is one that you should cherish and be really glad it's a part of. They are who you should be asking out to dinner. They are who you should be asking for advice, asking questions. There's something about the old saints. And they come, even though they would rather sing hymns. That's true, right? Don't identify yourself up front. Shh. And they support the mission of this church. And you probably don't even know this. They carry this church financially. And they are why there's a location. They're a big part of the reason why there's a location in Tremont. Not just the old saints up here, but the old saints over there. And faithful people that have been following Jesus for a really long time. And that is Simeon. And Simeon is going to have a moment here. It's a good moment. It's a beautiful moment. It's also like a little scary truth bomb moment. But when an old saint who has been following Jesus faithfully for a long time speaks, we better listen. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now that's like inside lingo, consolation of Israel. What consolation of Israel means is that he's waiting for the Messiah. That's another way to frame the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world that they had been waiting for with great anticipation. This is the one who would come and right the system and right the wrongs. And even though they had it misunderstood in the time, we understand now that the Messiah would come lowly in a manger, would grow, die on a cross, and raise from the dead, offering us freedom, not from the oppression of a political system or regime like the Jewish people in this day kind of like misinterpreted to mean just a freedom from Roman oppression. No, this Messiah, this consolation of Israel, would come to offer freedom from sin, restored relationship with God, and to defeat death once and for all. So this is the Messiah that they are waiting for. And this Simeon, man, he was looking forward to this with great anticipation. That's what old saints who have been following, that's a characteristic of an old saint that's been following Jesus. They can't wait for Jesus to come back. So he's waiting, right? Like he's waiting for the Messiah to show up. And it says this, the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. I love that this special moment is happening, that God is just doing this special thing in Simeon's life. He revealed to him through the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That's a pretty cool promise from God. Moved by the Spirit, this guy's paying attention. He had been paying attention. He had been waiting a long time, and he is still checked in. He has not checked out because things didn't go right following Jesus the way he thought they were. He had not checked out because he had problems in a relationship and this God thing didn't seem to fix it. He had not checked out when he hit bumps in the road. He had not checked out when he was disappointed. He didn't check out when he felt lonely. He didn't check out when he felt like God's promise was probably some bad pepperoni pizza that he had the night before. There's another high thing in there, but I'm just going to leave that. He's still checked in and following. So it says that he was moved by the Spirit and he went to the temple courts, and being moved by the Spirit, God said, like, go, like, gave him that holy nudge, that little move, like, hey, you got to go there, follow me, go there. You don't understand why. You think you're just going for the temple, but God's got something bigger for you. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you had promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Now, this is God doing something in Simeon. And Simeon being willing to follow God, and because he's being willing to follow God, he sees stuff that nobody else sees. Mary and Joseph are not carrying a sign that says, please welcome the Messiah Jesus, who is our baby, as they bring him to temple. There are no trumpets announcing his arrival. Jesus is one child in a crowd of children. They are two parents in a crowd of parents that would be going to that temple. With Simeon, he was tuned into God. So he saw what other people didn't see. He understood what was going on when other people... He got the meaning. Not just a moment. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. So like, all right, God, check the box. I'm done. Bring me home. Let's go. Like, I saw all I needed to see on this side of heaven. He continues, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Now, I love this, and this is not the sermon, but this is beautiful. This right here. This, which you have prepared in the light of all nations, and this would be the part that would kick off the religious people that would crucify him. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Right there from the very beginning, you get like, this is an all people. This is an everybody kind of moment. Now this is an amazing moment. And it says the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them. And I have to wait for that part there when he drops this truth bomb on him. But before we get to that, can we just acknowledge a couple things about Simeon? And Simeon was waiting for fulfillment, not a feeling. He was searching for truth, not a buzz. He wasn't coming to the temple just for a pick-me-up. What Simeon was after was something way more. He was after what God was doing and the fulfillment of God's promise to the nations and to himself. That's what he was after. Fulfillment always trumps feelings. Fulfillment is always greater than feelings. Instead of feeling good, which God has plenty of that for you too, what is far greater for you to experience in your life is the fulfillment of his word to you. It's his promises to you. And most of the time, his promises are experienced when you don't feel good. It's when you're lonely that the promise of him never leaving you means the most. It's when you feel purposeless and meaningless that his promise that your life has meaning and purpose means the most. Be like Simeon. Stop chasing feelings. Feelings don't last, even if you get a good one. They don't last. Like a holiday high, they fade. Chase fulfillment. And fulfillment is found in who God is and what God says. It's found in living in the reality of faithfully following Him. Simeon sees what other people don't see. And here's why. One, he is faithful. And two, he is attentive. He is paying attention to what God has for him. Simeon, no doubt, was a student of the Word of God. Simeon was praying. Simeon was paying attention to what God wanted to do. And because he was attentive to what God had for him, what God wanted for him, what God's direction for him was, not just in the big things in life, but also in the day-to-day stuff, when God said to him, hey, it's time to go to the temple, he didn't ask for a bunch of reasons why. He slid his oatmeal to the side. He put his tea down. I don't know why he's eating oatmeal and tea. It's just what popped into my mind. I didn't eat breakfast today. And he just went. He didn't put it off till later. He didn't say, I'll go tomorrow. He didn't barter with God because he was locked into a really good game of solitaire. Like, he was attentive. And then the third thing was, he was willing. Faithful, attentive, willing. Write those three words down. Make that your goal for 2026. I know maybe you got to lose 15 pounds. Me too. And those goals are maybe good. But a far better goal is to be like Simeon. Faithful, attentive in the big and the little things, and willing to follow. And do you know what the result was of that? He experienced more than what was promised. God poured it on. What was the promise to Simeon? The promise was, you will see the Messiah. Simeon got to juggle that kid. Simeon was tossing that kid up and down in the air. There was probably slobber coming out of Jesus' mouth onto Simeon. Like, Simeon held. He didn't just see, he held. And this is how the math of God works. I'm terrible at math, but I love the math of God. A promise is made, he faithfully follows and waits for the promise. Promise delivered, and it's more than what he expected. It's more than what was said. God pours it on for his children. His blessings are new every morning. So are his mercy. Like he has more for you than what you think. More than you thought to ask for. That's God's position towards you. It's beautiful. But then you have this truth bomb to wrap this up here. You have this truth bomb right here at the end of this thing. This is where it kind of like goes from fun Christmas vibes to, what? It says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined, you ready for this? Good Christmas vibes ending. It's talking about baby. This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. You don't put this in a Hallmark card. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And here you have this declaration where Simeon takes us from a manger to a cross with one prophetic truth bomb in the middle of our nativity sets. You cannot get away from the manger, the wood of the manger, and ignore the wood of the cross. This is the holy reminder. The holy reminder is that, like, joy comes, but it comes at a cost. And that cost would be the life of this baby, as he would willingly sacrifice himself, bearing our sins and our sufferings on a cross. Hope comes. Hope. Join hope. We talk about it. We sing about it a lot this time of year. Hope comes, but it comes via confrontation. Life and death. The Savior of the world against the systems of this world. And the confrontation of our own very personal hearts as the cross reveals our own brokenness, our own sinfulness, and offers a way to be forgiven and restored. But you don't come to restoration without first acknowledgement of your need. Redemption comes, but it comes through yielding. And this is the reminder that Simeon drops on our laps right here in this Christmas story. This is the holy reminder. You are not alone. God is with us. And there is great joy for you and more than you have ever experienced. God has more for you than you ever thought he had for you. He has redemption. He has restoration. He has hope. But it all comes through this Jesus, this baby who would die on a cross, defeat death, and rise again. So here's just some takeaways. Does the worship team come up now? Or what? Go ahead. You guys can come up now. Just drop a couple takeaways on you as they make their way forward. Make the manger the beginning. And maybe if you haven't, making the manger the beginning means that you need to do business at the cross, what the manger points to. By faith, confess with your heart, as it says in Romans 10:9, and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, not to a man, to God, that this Jesus is who he says he is and has done what he has says he has done and offers you forgiveness through his blood. Make this the beginning, not the end. Don't let hope die and keep taking faithful steps. And can I also say that Simeon, and if you want some work to do later, you can read on a little couple verses on, and there's another awesome woman there that you can read about who is also faithful. Her name's Anna. You can read that story. And what's interesting about both of these characters, and can I just challenge you with this, is Simeon was, and Anna, they were faithfully following, they were attentive to God, and they were willing to go where God follows, but they were also connected to other believers through the temple. They weren't doing it alone. They were part of the church that we call it now, post-resurrection. They were part of this community of believers that they were doing all of this stuff in. And I just want to challenge you, you're here. You're already like winning in this category. But in 2026, could you just push it a step deeper? It doesn't have to be this church. Any community of believers that are following Jesus, we all need those. And I'm so thankful that for those of you that call Grace Free Church home, that I get to be a part of that community with you. I need it. You need it. We all need it. I'm thankful for Simeon. Can we just be a little more like this old saint? Make 2026 look a little more like Simeon. I think that you would experience blessings along with some struggles, but some blessings and some joy that you have not anticipated. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for Simeon, for this prophetic like truth bomb that he drops right here to Mary and Joseph, for all of us to benefit from. This manger points to a cross, and that cross is everything that we need. We're so thankful for Jesus and all that we have been celebrating over the last couple years, but help us not to look at Christmas like it ends. It does not end. It is this life that we have, that we live, because through faith we have seen what Simeon has seen, though others may not. That this is the Savior of the world, but even more so, this is the Savior for me. And we are so thankful for Jesus. And we just, ask all this in His name. Amen.